We praise you, King Jesus. We come praising you, Lord Jesus. We thank you that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. But we bow now and confess now that you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the King of all glory. And we worship you, Lord Jesus. In that great name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, it is Memorial Day weekend, and it's on this weekend that we remember those who gave their lives for our sake, for this great country. And I'm going to tell you, with flaws, it's still the greatest country on the planet. Amen. There's been no country in all of history that has been as great as the United States of America. We have been a country that have sent more missionaries around the world. We've been a country that sent more humanitarian aid around the world. We've been a protector of the weak. And we're an awesome nation. And so let's not forget that. Let's not let our children think that this nation is not worth fighting for. It is. It is. But we do have to remind ourselves that with this gift that we've been given, there's a lot of responsibility that comes with it. And so this morning, I have to take this time that I do have to point out some things that we have to be on guard against. And it's been heavy. This sermon's been on my mind for a while now, and how do I approach it? And I say it all the time that we are countercultural. We don't flow the way of the world. And that's okay. You just go ahead and embrace it and say, this is what, you know, what is going to be. We sometimes have to go against the flow. We always have to go against the flow. That's why it's counterculture. But I want to point out that where this stuff is coming from. When you look at things in society and you scratch your head and say, it just don't make sense. Some of this stuff don't make sense. It actually does. It makes perfect sense when you recognize the source, when you see where it's coming from. In the 1800s in Germany, there was a man named Karl Marx who had studied some philosophers before him and developed his own philosophies. And in his philosophies, this dude was a drunk and a freeloader. And rather than take care of his family, he just borrowed from everybody that would loan him anything until he burned all of his bridges and his family lived in poverty. He just loved to hang out and drink and philosophize. And in so doing, he formed this philosophy that there's two types of people in the world and only two types. And those two types are the bourgeois and the proletariat, meaning the haves and the have-nots. And so, essentially, the property owners and the workers. And so this is his philosophy. The property owners and the workers. And here, essentially, what it comes to is the oppressors and the oppressed. And so he come up with this system, this ism. And out of his ism, Marx's ism, comes all kinds of other isms, including communism, socialism, Nazism, Leninism. We have all these isms that I call it the schisms of the isms. And a schism, by the way, is a division. And what you'll notice is that in these, all of these isms, if there is a country that has come into communism, especially socialism, it ends up, what is supposed to be the great equalizer actually is an equalizer because it kills off those that don't agree with it. It's a murderous, horrible ism, Marxism. Now, America was so strong and healthy that it didn't take off here. Because remember, what's his two classes of people? Property owners and workers. The oppressors and the oppressed. And because America's economy, it's capitalism, was so strong We have a large middle class, so it just didn't take off here like it did in other countries. I've been to a lot of other countries, and I've seen how their class systems work. Essentially, many of these countries have zero middle class, have a very small but very wealthy upper class, and a very large and very poor lower class. And so this Marxism philosophy is, we'll take from the rich and give it to the poor. But essentially, if in order to destroy that two-class system, we get rid of private property altogether. If you get rid of private property, no one can own a business. The government will then own the businesses. If you get rid of private property, now it's all equal. Everything's peachy keen, right? Just works so well. History will tell us how well it works. In short, it don't. But it didn't take off in America, except in the 1960s it started to gain some traction. There are many parties that follow Marxism ideas, and one of those was the American Communist Society. They had a list of rules of their agenda, and what's interesting is that agenda is being lived out right now just as clear as day. In 1958, a book was written called The Naked Communist. You can buy it. Do your own homework. Don't just take what I say, but study it for yourself. And you'll recognize that what they laid out, the game plan they laid out in 1958, we're just walking right through the motions. Interestingly enough, there was another guy who followed this Marxism. There's been so many and so much material out there in propaganda and books. You can do it on your own if you really want to be distracted. But it'll suck your life up. But there was another guy who wrote a book called Rules for Radicals. I have one on my shelf over there. His name was Saul Alinsky. Saul Alinsky worked for the Obama administration and part of his cabinet. He wrote in the opening of his book giving credit, he said, to the first rebel who at least gained his own kingdom, Lucifer. I'll tell you the source of these guys. I'll tell you the source of this philosophy. And how in the 1960s it began gaining traction, and they knew that in America you couldn't, they weren't going to win by domination, they'd have to do it by infiltration. And so they began infiltrating in all the major institutions, the great universities, media, entertainment. And so it was an infiltration into the institutions. And now it's just everywhere. But those of us who don't know what it is, don't see it when we see it. And so that is why I feel like it's my responsibility to come and say, this is what that is. This is what that is. And so when you recognize that there's this system that wants to take from those who have, and who, by the way, work, and give to those who don't, then that is a part of this socialism that has, by the way, I remember just two elections ago, we have one guy who came and said, I'm running as a socialist. Well, in my grandparents' era, they would have said, stop that, right? I mean, they had to stay kind of hidden and quiet. Because my grandfather there in Europe fought against this garbage. And they knew it for what it was, but we're a couple of generations later and we don't see it. And you have a guy running as a socialist, and we're like, well, that sounds kind of nice. It didn't take off, but guess what? It will if you continue to be ignorant. And that's why I feel like I need to inform our people what's going on. Now, I need to point out that there's some scriptures that the nation of Israel was dealing with something similar. And the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 5, verse 20, he's declaring this to the house of Jacob. So he's preaching this word to Jerusalem. And it says in verse 21, hear this now, O foolish people, without understanding, who have eyes and see not, and who have ears and hear not. Jeremiah was talking to the nation of Israel, to Jerusalem and Judah specifically, and says, danger's coming, you better look. You got to see it. And so he goes on in verse 26, for among my people are found wicked men. They lie in wait as one who sets snares, and they set a trap, and they catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so their houses are full of deceit. Therefore, they have become great and grown rich. They've grown fat and sleek, yet they surpass the deeds of the wicked. They do not plead the cause of the fatherless. God's heart has a large section for the fatherless. If there's anyone who cares for the have-nots, it's God. If there's anyone who cares for the downcast, it's God. If there's anyone who wants to bless and lift up and to, it's God that does this. And yet, this Marxism that has seeped into every facet of society wants to make you believe and me believe that it's them that can do it best. So here's the question: God or government? God or government? Anytime you see an expansion of government, just know Marxism is behind it. Just know it. Y'all gun got a little quiet on me. Y'all gonna have to. This has been hard enough to preach. I need some help. All right. So verse 30 says, an astonishing and a horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power. Now this was Old Testament Jerusalem. But what is he saying? It's the same as today. We can come up here and just give you a nice little inspirational sermonette. We can give you a nice little idea to go home with that just lifts you up. And you can leave here saying, I felt so good to come to church today. I think I can make it another week. And here's what he says. An astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power. And my people love to have it so. But what will you do in the end? Verse 13 of chapter 6. Because from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. Here's where it's coming from. Verse 14. They have also healed the hurt of my people slightly. Catch that? They've healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, where there is no peace. What's the problem? The preachers are coming along and just giving a little inspirational, a little pick-me-up, just a little lift, just a little nice little, I call it a cotton candy sermon. It's soft and sweet. And so that you can go home and say, it was so good to be in church today. And yet fail to bring out the truth. Fail to bring out the truth. And the truth is, there is an evil system that has permeated our society, and culture is going in the sway of that evil system. Now, it's not just Marxism. Marxism is a great contributor of it, but the Bible calls it the world. It's the world, and it is under the sway of Satan. Marxists just put some names to it, and an agenda to it, and a playbook to it, and they're just ushering it in, and we're just like, what is going on? Why? What is this that's so crazy that's happening? It just doesn't make any sense. It makes sense when you know what they're doing. Remember, he says there's only two classes of people, and that's the property owners or oppressors and the workers, the oppressed. Now, let me just point out that it doesn't have to be... There's always only two classes of people in the Marxist mentality. There's always only two classes of people. And so therefore there is a division, a division, a division, constantly division, division, division. Every one of us can look at a nation and say it is more divided than we've ever seen it ever in our lifetime. Why? It's a part of the agenda. It's a part of the agenda. Now we're divided over everything from gender to race to sexuality to Israel and Palestine to vaccines to masks to abortion. We're divided party lines. Everything. There's two classes. The oppressor and the oppressed. Constantly. It wasn't that long ago. It was the Me Too movement. There'll be another movement soon. There's the oppressor and the oppressed. And what is being seeped into our minds is the science of victimization. You're a victim. Don't you know you're a victim? You're a victim to society. The big bad man has been constantly pushing you down. You're a victim. Well, okay, well, how do I get that fixed? No problem. We're the government. We're here to help. No scarier words have ever been uttered from the mouth of a human being. We're from the government. We're here to help. No, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. I want to point out in the New Testament, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. They happen. Do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. I want to come back to some of that in just a second. I want to point out that, again, when you look at things and you say, it don't make sense. Oh, it makes sense. So why, after each issue, all of a sudden we have mobs and riots? If there's something that rises up, all of a sudden we have chaos happening on university campuses, in our streets, in our major cities. There's mobs and riots and destruction of property. Goes back to Marxism. Can we see that slide? This is what Karl Marx said. This is my goal in life. My object in life is to dethrone God and destroy capitalism. That tells you where the source is from. The very one, Lucifer, that Saul Alinsky dedicated his book to, that Obama had in his cabinet, it's come from the same source. And that is, God is not my God. God is not my God. Well, I'll tell y'all something. Those people that their names are written on walls and memorials that I've walked alongside in Washington, D.C., they fought and died for the foundations of this country that says God is our God. Amen. And we need to remember them today. Amen. We need to also remember that we're responsible. We're responsible what they've blessed us with to steward it well and protect it. And it is the foundation built on these principles. Amen. So the American Communist Society said they have two major, the biggest two roadblocks to their Marxism being completely accepted in American society. The two major roadblocks, religion and the family. That's one of their two major roadblocks. They said religion and the family. It's blocking us. And so here's what they said. One way to defeat both, and this was back in the 60s, and then it really, there was a man named Cliff Bowers who right out of college slipped into an American communist meeting, and they said there's one thing, if we get this push through, it will destroy moral values and it will hit both America, the American family, and religion. And that is the acceptance of homosexuality. They said that one thing, if we push the homosexual agenda, it's an agenda, please understand, it's an agenda, then it will, if Christians will receive this, it will be the downfall of the family and the church. So now all of a sudden it begins to make sense how in the 90s, when I was in high school, the word was tolerance. And I remember when Ellen DeGeneres came out and declared that she was homosexual, and she was the first openly homosexual entertainer and all this kind of stuff. And some of the church was appalled at this. And now it doesn't even raise our eyebrows anymore. Right? Yes. Y'all with me? It was tolerance then. Later on, after it was not enough to tolerate, it was acceptance. And now today, it's celebrate. What you first tolerate, you will soon celebrate. Yes. And it's an agenda. It's an agenda. It's an agenda. The destruction of property. If there's no property, if there's no private property, then we're all on a level playing field. It's an agenda, an agenda, agenda. You say, it don't make sense that during the riots, the BLM was destroying black businesses. It's the agenda. The agenda. Property's evil. Get rid of the property. All those poor people, they didn't understand. They were just getting sucked into the agenda. Destroy private property. I won't get to the scriptures here in a second. I don't want to put too much focus on the wrong. I love to put my focus on the right. But I have to make us aware of the wrong. Why are we wanting to defund police? Because they're the protectors of private property. Oh, now it makes sense. Why is it that we're tearing down statues of people like Frederick Douglass? Oh, because he didn't fit the agenda. He was a man who was born into slavery and died wealthy and free. So why would BLM tear down his statue? Didn't fit the agenda. You have to understand there's an agenda, and it's called in the Bible the world. And we don't go along with the world, we go against it. And instead of this two-class mentality of trying to divide and create crisis and use a crisis to bring fundamental change, we have to recognize that the division is a part of the agenda. So what we need to do is unite. We unite. I get asked this, I've been talked real bad about. Why did y'all quit being a Baptist church? Why are you no longer a denominational church? And my response is, in this time in history, the church needs to be united. And I also have a personal belief that when Paul and Jesus himself spoke against sectarianism, that was denominationalism, and we need to come together as the body of Christ. Amen? We do. We do. But I need to point this out, that mere patriotism won't fix this. I need you to catch that. I can get up here and start giving you statistics and facts and show you pictures and get you fired up and mad and ready to fight, and all I've done is stirred up your flesh, and that won't do a bit of good. By the way, your flesh stinks just like mine does. So mere patriotism won't fix this. It's a spiritual issue. And so therefore, how are we going to fix it? They've been so infiltrated for so long. They're so entrenched in all of the major institutions and all the major media and all of these things. They've been brilliant. How did they get so wise? Well, because behind them is the council of demons. And they've been studying human history as long as humans have been alive. Remember, demons don't die. It's kind of like babies' kids. They don't die. They multiply. These don't actually multiply. Y'all don't even know who babies' kids are, do you? Anyway, demons don't die. And so they've been along as long as humans have been studying our behavior. And this Marxist or whatever idea comes from their council. So what do we do when we're fighting against the dominion of darkness? We shine the light. Amen? We shine the light. And so if the American Communist Society, which we would think, oh my goodness, that's good. That can't be anymore. Surely that was done away with a long time ago. And it just changes forms. And when they say that the two major barriers to their agenda being fulfilled is the family and the church, here's what I say. Strengthen your family and let's build up the church. Amen. Amen. Strengthen your family. Teach your children that this is the truth. This standard does not change. It's not some archaic book that no longer is relevant. God says, I am God. I do not change. Amen. Even though society changes, the God who created us and this world don't change. And he has given us his moral principles right here in these scriptures. And so we need to be teaching our children. We need to be learning them ourselves. It is not okay for you to be ignorant of God's word. It is not okay. If there's anybody in here that don't have a Bible, we'll get you one. And then again, you'll have no excuse. You're responsible to know what's in it. Amen? We need to know truth. Here's what I'm going to read again. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 again. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Why? Because I don't want to think too much. It makes my brain hurt. I just want a little cotton candy sermon. There will be a time when people won't endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, you just tell me how to be healthy and wealthy. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth. The truth. The truth. And be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions, because as a Christian, they come. And they're coming even more and more stronger and more frequent. Do the work of an evangelist. fulfill your ministry. When I say that mere patriotism won't fix what the mess that we're in, what am I saying? You can go out there and wave your flag. You could just be all bold in your patriotism. It ain't going to fix it. It needs to be addressed spiritually. It needs to be addressed with the kingdom of God. Amen. Those that are ready to fight and that are all stirred up and in their flesh. And when I say go out and win people to Jesus, all of a sudden they quiet down. Go out and make disciples of men and women and boys and girls. All of a sudden they're not nearly as zealous. But I'm going to tell you, that's the one thing. That's the one thing. Raise up our families in the ways of the Lord and win people to Christ and teach them the scriptures and say, this is the truth. There is a moral standard. There are values. You need this. And then you won't be so blind to see what's going on. Hold to the scriptures. My intention on the Sunday morning is for people to know God. K-N-O-W, know God. Communism, socialism, Marxism, their intention is N-O, God, know God. We've been going to Ukraine for years, and since the fall of the Soviet Union, which, by the way, again, was communism out of Marxism, since the fall of the Soviet Union, we started going over there with Brother Jack Mills, and Brother Jack Mills, the one who fought in World War II, and he remembered that during the communism there in Russia, that in their schools they would have the children say, there is no God, there is no God, there is no God. Teaching it to the smallest children. Rafael Cruz, the father of Ted Cruz, he grew up in Cuba, and he remembers there in the schools that when communism came into their schools, The soldiers would come into the schoolhouse and have the kids close their eyes and open their hands. And they'd say, okay, close your eyes, open your hand, pray that God will give you a piece of candy. Pray that God will give you a piece of candy. No candy. They say, okay, now pray that Castro will give you a piece of candy. And all the soldiers would come in and put candy in the people's hands, the children's hands. What are they saying? Trust God. Trust government, not God. Trust government, not God. We have to recognize that is an evil scheme by which Satan is trying to dethrone God, undermine His glory. But we don't have to get disturbed. We don't have to focus on that. We put our attention on the Lord. Amen. I need to point this out. That this business of take from... I'm going to be teaching on these different principles. I'm going to be teaching on, I'll have to bring out some of the negative that's going on in our culture, but I'm going to teach you what the Bible says about it. Okay? Y'all good with that? You're going to have to keep coming back. You're going to miss it. It's going to be for the next several weeks, but I'm going to say this is what culture says, but thus says the Lord. Here's what even Jesus, he comes along and says, it has been said of old this. He says, but I say that. And so this was, as we're talking about being countercultural, we're going to be highlighting some of the things that have gone on in our culture and say, but this is what the Bible says. What I've come to understand is that most people want to know what this says. Don't you? I want to tell you this. You have to hold to this as truth. You have to teach this to your children as truth. This next story comes as a little very personal. We had a youth pastor here. I know this is online. I know some people are going to know what I'm talking about. And you just do your homework and you'll find out this is true. Had a youth pastor here who was doing a good job. This guy, he was kind of a manly guy early on. Was a welder. How many welders we got in the house? Yeah, I know we got some welders. We got a lot of welders in the house. We got men in this church. This guy was a welder and came from a Christian home. His wife came from a Christian home, raised on the truth of God's word. But I started picking up on something's wrong, something's off. Long story short, I had to remove him from the position of youth pastor. His wife comes to me and says, how did you know? I said, know what? She said, my husband he no longer believes that this is the infallible, inerrant word of God. He doesn't think you can trust this word anymore. I said, how'd that come about? She said he was watching something on YouTube. and he's following some teaching on YouTube. And she says, now I'm faced with a dilemma. I don't know if I follow my husband or follow what I know to be true. Well, I'm going to tell you what she did. She followed her husband. They left Athens, went to Tyler, began a business. That business took off, and soon they were moving to Washington, D.C. They were hired by the Democratic National Convention. Very soon after that, all of a sudden, as you're seeing pictures of them, they're beginning to change a lot. Long story short, now he identifies as a woman. Our former youth pastor identifies as a woman. She's married to a woman. Their little boy looks like a little girl, and their little girls look like little boys. What happened? They quit trusting in this word. They quit trusting to the destruction of their marriage. They got to be delusional. You got to be delusional. What is wrong with you? What happened? A spirit slipped in. When you quit trusting in God's truth, a spirit slipped in. And that family is destroyed. We must hold to this book as the truth of God's word. When everything else is spiraling out of control and everything's constantly changing, God says, I am God. I do not change. This truth does not change. This truth is as relevant today as when it was put into a book. It's as relevant today. It's truth. Amen. It doesn't change. It's consistent. It's constant. It's powerful. The Lord says that this book you hold is the inspired, God-breathed word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. The vision God gave me, I preached on it when he gave it to me, was somebody in a wooden boat, big wooden boat. And it's off of a rocky coast, and it's held by an anchor. And there's this maniac down there cutting on the anchor rope. And as soon as that anchor rope is cut, that vessel is going to be dashed against the rocks. The wind and the waves are blowing that vessel. And it's, as soon as that rope, the first time you come along and you read a passage of scripture and you don't understand it and you say, I'm not so sure that's true, you take a cut on the rope. I'm not so sure a fish can swallow a man, and you cut. I'm not so sure somebody can raise from the dead. Well, then you've completely cut yourself free. And as soon as you cut yourself free from believing that this is the truth of God's word, destruction is instant. It's instant. We must hold to God's truth. We must cling to his word and say, when everything around me is changing, this does not. And God does not. His word is truth. Last illustration, just to show you how fast society is spiraling out of control since the 1960s. In the 60s, the I Love Lucy, or the 50s, the I Love Lucy show had an episode in which the camera was panning through the house and it accidentally looked through the door of the bathroom and showed the base of the toilet. and the censors said, we can't show that episode. America's not ready to see this. The base of a toilet. Nobody's sitting on a toilet. Just the base of a toilet. Censor said, our nation's not ready to see this. How far have we come since that decision was made? How far have we spiraled into chaos? And every time I'd say, well, it can't get much worse. It does. It does. But I want to tell you something. I just decided I'm not gonna watch the news. I'm not gonna pay attention to all the crazy going on around me. I'm not gonna get distracted by looking at darkness. I'm gonna look to the light of God's word. Amen. Amen. I love what Corrie Ten Boom. I will finally close with this. What Corrie Ten Boom, if you don't know who she was an amazing woman of God. Her whole family, they were not Jewish, and yet they were protecting Jews there in Holland. And They were housing them in their house, and they were found out by the Germans. The Nazis took them in to their concentration camps to re-educate and to eliminate. Corey's sister died, her father died there in the concentration camp. Corey lived through it, became a mighty preacher of God's word all over the world. She said, look to the world, you'll get distressed. Look within, you'll get depressed. But look to the Lord and you'll find rest. Amen. 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 Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Stand with me, please. Father God, I pray that you would give us eyes to see you. Oh, we don't need to look at the crazy that's going on around us. If we just have eyes that focus on the light, when the darkness slips in, we'll recognize it. We'll feel it. We'll sense it. We'll know it. Lord, I pray that you gain our utmost attention, and that this morning, as we are just talking about the truth of what's going on in our culture, that it will be alarm bells to our spirit to say, I have to know more about God's truth. I have to raise up my children, my grandchildren, to trust this word. I have to continue to know God personally, not just know about God. I need to know him intimately, deeply, and personally. Lord, I pray that you'd protect our minds from delusions, and they would constantly cling to truth. Thank you, God, for your goodness. And the truth of this statement, greater is he who is within us than he who is within this world. Thank you, God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.